Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome into the house this morning of the Lord. And we're glad to have you here, both in the sanctuary and on the other side of the camera here at Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. Our sermon today is titled Treading Water. Our scripture lesson to back that up comes from Matthew 14, verses 22-33. And I have a little story to read that's probably going to get me in trouble. "Well," said the pastor after a service one day, "how did you take the sermon?" And the businessman standing there in the narthex with him said, "It was wonderful. It was just like the peace and mercy of God." And the pastor's face filled and he became radiant. And he says, "Well, I really don't believe it was quite that good." The pastor, feeling rather proud of himself, said, "Why do you think so?" The businessman said, "Well, you see, it was like the peace of God because it passed all understanding. And it was like the mercy of God because I thought it was going to endure forever." The first one of you that says that to me this morning on the way out. Good morning.
Good morning.
Got my glasses. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22-33. "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You have little faith,' he said. 'Why did you doubt?' And when they had climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are able to be here this morning, and we invite our friends and family from the other side of the video camera to share with us, along with all their family here in this sanctuary. Father, we need this sermon. We need this reminder, we need this lifting, we need this guidance, this message coming from you for the week to come, Father, to help us when we are weary, to lift us when we need it. Father, pray these words, strengthen us as you would have them do. In the name of Jesus we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. Well, it's winter. Has anybody missed that fact? I'm telling you, man, if one more person asks me this question, I'm going to frighten their head. Is it cold enough for you? That's all I've heard for the past 3 weeks. Hey, Paul, is it cold enough for you? And then the wind. And in winter, you just feel cold. Everything just feels cold, doesn't it? Now, I have this question that I really need to ask you, because I've got to know if I'm the only one that does this or not. But I need to know. When you see something on TV, you're watching a program, or you see a commercial, or a section in whatever television show, and the people jump in the water to go swimming, or they're doing something in the water in the middle of winter, does it make you feel cold? No? Nobody else but me? Am I really that weird? Don't answer that. It does me. I get a little shiver. I'm like, why are they in that water? It's 100 degrees below zero. Of course, when the summer comes around, I'm like, that looks good. And these people that jump in the water because they claim the ice water invigorates me and it opens up my skin and pores and brings me closer to nature and allows me to commune and be one with what? Pneumonia? The whole time I'm writing this sermon, or this sermon is starting to form, it made me laugh because I kept shivering because the title is Treading Water in the Middle of Winter. In 2018, this man made the following statement. He said, I struggled with ADHD and depression, and I contemplated that suicide was going to be my only option after the 2012 Olympics. The man has 28 medals, holds Olympic records, has broken records, has gone and done things that was never said that could ever be done, gained 8 gold medals in one setting, has set record after record, even retiring to come back out and start breaking records again. He is considered by many to be the greatest athlete of all time. Period. And yet, with all that in place, all of that, this kid who found an outlet for an overabundance of energy, for an anger that was enveloping him from the time he was 9 years old, angry with his situation because his parents had divorced and he felt like his father abandoned him. Angry because he couldn't find his way. Angry because he just couldn't figure anything out and was invited at 11 years old to come to the community swimming pool where his sisters loved to swim. And as he stood on the side of it and argued with them, one of them walked up behind him and shoved him in. Shoved him in. And he found, while he was there treading water, he found he liked this feeling. And he swam a little bit. And the more he swam, the more he liked it. And the more he liked it, the more he swam. And things began to get away from him. His outlet became great with this energy that he had. This is a man who burned somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 calories during a swimming session. 10,000 calories. There is a legend he's got to take in somewhere between 12 and 15,000 when he's swimming in competition just to keep up with himself. I called him one time. I said, just meet me at the Golden Corral. I'll show you how to do it. Michael Phelps said, simply being in the pool and treading water is why he is the great swimmer that he is. Treading water made you a great swimmer? Now, I'm sure that you're like looking at me going, what in the world does this have to do with the scripture that we just read? Well, it has to do with everything. Here's a man who went through it all, won it all, proved it all, and yet still circled back to the fact that he needed to have a constant in his life to keep him sane, to keep him strong, to keep him grounded, to keep him safe. Go back to that scripture for a moment. I know, we all know the old story, don't we? They're out there, they have just got done with a bunch of preaching, and Jesus Christ needs to go and rest. He needs people to go away from him. And Matthew records it as such. It says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. You see, I think that sometimes Jesus was treading water. I think that sometimes he needed to find that moment where he could get up and get himself settled down and rest and recommune with his Father and be strengthened. Because when we think about it, at these 3 years in that man's life, He was doing literally everything. He was healing. He was removing demons. He was walking from town to town. He was being chased around. He was being threatened with his very life. He was so powerful, in fact, and had so much energy, had so much with him. We even know the scripture of the woman that merely touched one little teeny tiny thread of his garment and was healed. You think that's a lot of pressure? You think that's a lot of weight to carry? I certainly do. And I know that he needed those times to get himself back to it. The scripture writer Matthew continues to record this. The Bible says, when evening came, he was alone. And he looked out. The boat was already a considerable distance from the land, being beat up by the waves, by the wind, against it. Now, to mind you, and make sure you understand, they were rowing this boat. How many people in this room have ever rowed a boat before? Isn't it just a fun time? Huh? Isn't it just an exciting time? Unless you're on one of them little pools at the lake and you're in one of them big swan boats and you're trying to impress your woman, just how manly you are. Look at me, honey. And you sing to her. And then you suddenly realize you've only gone 6 feet and you feel like you've rowed across the Atlantic Ocean to impress this woman. And rowing a boat. Oh, that's good. And these were large boats. And they had to fight against the wind, against the sea, and they were getting tired. And it was the fourth watch of the night. And Jesus decided to come to them and strengthen them. And he did it by walking on the water. Walking on the lake. You know, I've grown up a preacher's kid. Preacher's grandson, nephew, great-great-grandson. I don't know how many. It doesn't mean I'm really that intelligent. As many of you have come to know over these past 15 years, sometimes my brain doesn't work right. And as a preacher's kid, when we would get around swimming pools as children, the first thing we would do is try to walk on the water. And I see some of you shaking your heads, so I know you tried it too when you was little kids. Well, Jesus did it. Maybe if we start running really, 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 really fast. And we would start running, and we would run. And do you know what happened when we got to the water and we put our first foot in the water? In, not across, in. And we'd get up laughing, you can't walk on the water, you're a bad kid too, and you've got to go to church. And I have a confession to make that I'm 54 years old, and still sometimes when I get near a pool, I get that urge to try it again. And so I do. And do you know what I've figured out? Now that I'm a preacher, I'm learning a good way, trying to be a pastor of a flock, you know what I figured out I can do? I still can't walk on water. But that's all right. Jesus did. And the Bible records a scene that captivates my attention. He's walking on the water. Now, I don't know about you, but it's the fourth watch of the night. It's now dark. The moon's up. You're on the boat. You're tired. You're in a little bit of a mood because the master has sent you out there to start with. And you're trying to get back to the shore because you're hungry. And all of a sudden you look and you see someone walking towards you on the water. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm going out that side of the boat. I don't want to see this. I don't know what's going on. I want out of here. I'm happy to go out now and tread water. And the Bible says they were scared. And he says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Jesus was teaching them, I am the Son of God. I transcend everything you know. Pay attention. And Peter, old big mouth, the one I identify with. Yes, my name is Paul. Great biblical name. I still think my name should have been Peter because Peter and I share the same characteristic. Big mouth, foot, constantly in mouth. And Peter goes, if the Lord, if it is you, and I can see this now, Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come out on the water and I'll walk over there to you. Now, I'm wondering if Jesus snickered. Come. Come here. And he gets down out of the boat and he starts walking. Now, that right there took something to do. Anybody else think they would try that? Even if it was the Lord standing there telling you, "Hey, Sarah Spangler, walk over here to me." She'd be like, "Uh-uh. You, sir, uh-uh. Not until you are really close." And he got out and he started walking. You know how he walked across that water? Would you like me to show you the Peter walk across the water? "Look at me. I'm walking across the water to the Lord while you all stay in the boat. Out there is the Lord. And here's the..." "Here's the water. Hey, man." And he starts losing faith and he sinks. He starts screaming out. I know the Bible records it a certain way. "Lord, save me." But I know it was more than that. Immediately, Jesus caught him, pulled him up and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Then they climbed into the boat together. The wind died and everyone in the boat knew. The Bible records it. Knew. Worshipped him saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Now, I'm not sure how many of you all in this room actually know how to swim. And the reason I say that, and I'm not trying to poke fun, I know that there was a certain age where you didn't go swimming. My parents, my mom and dad, both grew up next to streams and creeks, and they were not allowed to play in it when they was a kid. Because my grandparents were afraid of them drowning because they didn't know how to swim. And a lot of people did not learn how to swim. Now, I have children, I learned how to swim. My parents saw to it, I learned how to swim. And I have children who swim like fish. And when I tell them to stay out of the creek when they was little kids, they would go down when we was up at my uncle's, and they would go and disappear and be playing. And the next thing, they would come into the shop soaking wet. And I would turn to them and go, "Was you playing in the creek?" "Uh-uh." "Nope." "You truly are my child." But one of the things I had to learn how to do, the very first lesson when I was learning how to swim, was learn how to tread water. You know, you just move your arms back and forth. Nice steady movement. Your legs this way. Some people call it the egg beater. I don't know. And you just keep your head right there, calming yourself. As a matter of fact, when we lived in Frederick, when I lived with my mom in Frederick, we lived in an apartment complex, and they had a large swimming pool that during the summer was where life was at. Until I had to leave to go deliver papers in the afternoon, we all went to the swimming pool. And they had a big old blue rope with these buoys on it that separated the pool. And on this side was all the people that couldn't swim because the water was only 3 foot deep, and that's where all the kids played. And that was about half the pool. And then over here was the fun side where the water was 8 feet deep. But if you got caught crossing the rope, you got thrown out the pool that day. Until you went up to the lifeguard and you said, "I'm ready for my test." And the test was, the lifeguard would get in the water and one would get above the water. And you would jump in and you had to swim back and forth twice from side to side of the pool in the deep end. And then you had to tread water for a minute. And they always tested a bunch of us together. And you know, when you get a bunch of kids in a pool together, what happens? Oh, it becomes a game. "I can swim faster than you." "No, you can't." "Yes, I can." "I can tread water longer than you." "No, you can't." "Yes, I can." And all them lifeguards all did the same thing when we started doing that. Oh, good golly, here we go again. And we'd be in there treading water. I've been in for a minute. "Nah, man, I've been here for an hour." "You ain't been here for no hour, because I've been here as long as you have." "No, I'm in here. I'm doing this good. Why am I getting so tired? What is going on here? Stop treading water and get out of the pool." "No, I got to win." And then the next thing you know, you start going down and you start splashing around and you make for the side, hoping that the lifeguard is there to save you. Because ultimately, when you are treading water, you become weary and slowly, very slowly, find you can't do it for very long. You were overconfident. And treading water at that moment seems to be the answer, when the truth is, you're just prolonging the inevitable. Arnold Palmer recalls a lesson about being overconfident. He said it was the final hole of the 1961's Masters Tournament, and I had a one-stroke lead and had just hit a very satisfying tee shot. I felt I was in pretty good shape. As I approached my ball, I saw an old friend standing there at the edge of the gallery. He motioned me over, stuck out his hand, and said, "Congratulations. Good game." I took his hand and shook it, and as soon as I did, I started losing my focus. My next two shots, I hit the ball into the sand trap and put it over the edge of the green. I missed the putt and lost the Masters. You don't forget a mistake like that. You just learn from it and become determined that you will never do it again. And in the 30 years since, he records, "I never did." I am the worst at this. I am the worst at treading water. And I'm not talking about being in a pool. I'm talking about trying to keep everything just below you and your head above everything and the turmoil around you. I am the absolute worst at always trying to do this. Or does anybody else want to try to take my title? Does anybody else try to tread water when you ought not to be? Say amen. You can say it to me. You can tell me that there's times that you think you can control every single thing in your life and you tend to forget that you can't. Now can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, there it is. The simple fact is, we do this. We often think that we are in control of everything. In the meantime, our head is right here above turmoil. Just our head. I mean, we're under the kicking and I can stay there. I'm fine. Whatever trouble I've gotten myself into, I can get out of. Whatever's going on around my life, I can handle it. Whatever I am, I can do it. The Lord has told me to walk out on the lake and I am now sinking in the water, but I'm okay. And I don't need anyone's help. You're wrong. You're treading water and you're running out of energy. You just don't know it yet. A sign in a textile mill stated the following: when your thread becomes tangled, call the foreman. When your thread becomes tangled, call the foreman. A young woman was new on the job, and her thread became tangled, and she thought, "I'll straighten this out myself." And she tried, but the situation worsened. And finally, it got so bad that the line had to stop. The factory had to stop. When she called the foreman, she said, "I did the best I could do." And he smiled at her gently and said, "No, you didn't. To do the best, you should have called me." Here's a simple fact. Tell me if you know this simple fact in Scripture. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. It is a tough situation sometimes that we find ourselves in when we decide that we can do what we need to do on our own. Maybe it's a medical procedure that you need to go have done and you're fighting against it. Maybe it's the fact that you have to do something that you know you have to do and you don't want to. Maybe it's the simple fact that everything in your life has gotten to the point where you feel it's a sign of weakness to call one of your brothers and sisters and say, "Will you please pray with me?" You're treading water and you don't even know it. And you're going to sink. A.B. Simpson is reported to have said the following: Gospel tells rebellious men that God is reconciled, that justice is satisfied, that sin is atoned for, that the judgment of the guilty may be revoked, that the condemnation of the sinner is canceled, the curse of the law blotted out, the gates of hell closed, the portals of heaven open wide, the power of sin subdued, the guilty conscience healed, the broken heart comforted, the sorrow and misery of the fall undone. If you just call his name. Amen. No more treading water. No more going in there thinking, I can handle this. Now the truth is, because we are not righteous, because we are not yet attained perfectness, we're going to do it. And it's okay. But you have to ground yourself accordingly. You have to remind yourself daily that while I'm living this life, I have God with me. I have Jesus Christ as my Savior, and with Him I can do so much more than I can do on my own. John Wesley said, when I was young, I was sure of everything. In a few years, having been mistaken 1,000 times, I was not half so sure of most things as I was before. At present, I am hardly sure of anything but what God has revealed to me. Want me to translate that for you? I tread water way too much and am confident in my own abilities. And as I have grown as a Christian, I have come to realize that my faith and my trust must be wholly and completely on Him. Our very nature is to try to do it. Our very nature is to allow ourselves to be overwhelmed. Our very nature is to allow ourselves to get into situations that we think we can get ourselves out of, and we cannot. You just need to remember, never let go of the fact that you are being watched all the time. That you are being comforted all the time. That you are being lifted all the time. And all you have to do when you are treading water, be ready to call and receive that hand. Be ready to call. Father, I'm treading water and I'm losing time. Will you please help me? Yet again, and away you go. Just reach out and call. No more treading water. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as Peter did, we sometimes find ourselves overconfident and walking into a situation we are not fully prepared for. We need to be in constant prayer with you, Father, and that's a given, but we need to remind ourselves of it. We need to tell ourselves daily to call upon you, to not try to take it on our own and think that everything is okay when really our head is just above the turmoil and only for a short time. Father, come to us and lift us out accordingly whenever we call. We thank you that your Son Jesus gave himself for us, that he died for our sins. As the songs we have sang, they washed our sins away with his blood. Let us be ever mindful of the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.